Thank you, Ed and Tina. Appreciate it. Appreciate you guys' ministry here at Grace Community Church. We'll be praying for you. Enjoy Washington. I love it there, too. It's so nice. We should plan our campus in Washington, too.
Yeah.
Let's do that. We'll be there next, okay? 3 years from now, we will be there. Good to see you guys again. Yeah. Hey, if you got your Bibles, open them up to the book of Mark in the New Testament. All right, Matthew, Mark, we're in the second book of the New Testament, Mark chapter 12. We're going to talk about loving God and loving people, one of those things you often hear people say, one of those church phrases, but we're going to talk about loving God and loving people today, so I'm excited about the opportunity to be with you guys. Had a great last hour, which always freaks me out because I'm like, God, it was such a great last hour. Please repeat it. Please repeat it somehow, you know, that's my prayer this morning, but regardless if I repeat it in my mind or not, it's the Holy Spirit that's going to make application in your life, in your heart. So that's refreshing to know. Very refreshing. Mark chapter 12. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." "Well said, teacher," the man replied. "You are right in saying that God is one, and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." Jesus saw that he answered wisely. He said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions. Pretty great passage of Scripture. We're going to talk about that. But before we do, two Saturdays ago, I was on a granite rock, and I was fishing at a lake called Pinecrest. Some of you guys probably know Pinecrest. Matter of fact, some of you guys went fishing yesterday. I heard Shana caught like 20 fish. I hope they all went on one stringer, Shana. No, I'm just kidding. I was at Pinecrest, and I was fishing, and over the years, fishing has become an odd outlet for me. Matter of fact, it's not even an outlet anymore. Really, the anticipation of fishing is what's an outlet for me. Because when I fish nowadays, it's torture. It's like watching the Giants, sort of. Did I tell you the Giants are in the championship series today? They're playing tonight. Yeah, I know. I didn't hear what happened just then. Back to my story, though, Tom. Just kidding. When I fish, some days my mind begins to race. It really, really does. In 5 minutes of fishing, I can think about more things than an entire work week in my office here. It's bizarre. It's almost frightening some days. But a couple weeks ago, I was sitting on this rock fishing, and what seemed to have been a perfect day for most, and it wasn't. It was not fun for me. I'll just share some of my thoughts with you, and you may freak out because you have to enter my brain for a second, but I have the mic and you don't, again. But here were my thoughts. I was sitting there fishing with the line in the water, waiting for that elusive tug that never seems to come. You know what I'm talking about? And suddenly my mind begins to think, and first thought is, am I ever going to catch a fish? And there have actually been times, I hate to admit it, where I've prayed that I will catch a fish. I know this sounds terrible. I don't mean to be unholy in any way, but I've actually prayed that. So I'm thinking, God, am I ever going to catch a fish? And then suddenly all the other thoughts start coming. And this happens in a matter of seconds, but it's going to take a little bit longer to communicate to you. But it goes from, am I going to catch a fish, to, I can't believe my truck made it up here this year. Man, Bruce is getting old. I can't believe my kids named my truck Bruce. What the heck? I wonder how my kids are doing today. I wonder if they're doing good in soccer. Then it switches. I wonder how Ames is doing today. I wonder if the kids are alive right now. I wonder if Ames is in a good mood today. I wonder if she's having a good time with the kids. She's always in a good mood, by the way. And I'm exaggerating a bit because she's in the service, okay? Although Pastor Bill likes to exaggerate when Janet's not here. I like to do when Ames is here, so she gets the skinny right here. Just kidding around. Back to my thought process, okay? I wonder how Ames do it. I wonder if they're having a good time, if they're going to have a good weekend. I wonder how the Giants are going to do in the playoffs this year. That thought's kind of been answered a little bit. I can't believe Janet's a bigger Giants fan than I am right now. I hope they have a good Sunday tomorrow morning. We're starting a church in January. Oh my goodness. And at this point, if you could hear my mind thinking, it was more like this. I can't believe we're starting a church in January. Oh my gosh. When are we going to start meeting? What are we going to do? What events are we going to take place? Where is the location where we're going to meet? What's going to happen? When is God going to bring certain people there? What's going to happen here in Lathrop? How is the changes going to go with all the life groups? Are people going to be excited? I know I am. It's going to be fantastic. Is someone going to be frustrated? Is someone going to ask me to step outside? I can't believe I got a fight with Nick Nobriga in the third grade. This is my thought process, okay? I had the momentary flashback. Then all of a sudden I start thinking, and this is when my mind really starts to, you know, strangle my brain. I start thinking, God, am I even worthy to lead a church? God, am I even worthy to be a dad, to be a husband? Lord, how are things going to turn out? You know, how are my kids going to turn out? Are they going to marry well? God, I pray that they do good. I pray that you keep them safe. Lord, I pray that Sam's a better man than I am. All these thoughts begin to race through my head. And at this point, for those driving by in the boat, and those sitting next to me, they may have thought, man, Ben's having a pretty relaxing time up here. Nice, cool, gentle breeze, 75 degrees or so. The sun peeking in and out of the clouds. Powerade right next to me. Line in the water. Man, he's got it made. But in reality, it was chaos in my brain. My mind was racing, my heart was racing, my blood pressure was up. I was ready to scream. And then suddenly, everything changed. You know why? I got a bite! I got a bite! And suddenly, all the thoughts faded away, and everything that was invading my mind at that time ceased, because I was focused on only one thing. That trout nibbling on my chartreuse power bait. I was 100% focused on what I came to do, and that was catch a fish. I heard nothing at this point. You have to wait and see. I was poised, waiting for another tug on the line. And ladies and gentlemen, there are many things going on right now. In the midst of this church here, there are many things about to take place, and there are things taking place right now. With planning a church in Tracy, with the changes that are taking place in our life groups here, there will be new leaders, there will be new attendees, people will be changing groups. It's exciting. In our country, there are things going on. Debates are taking place. The general election is less than a month away. In our towns, there are elections taking place. There are school conferences going on. I know just this last week, Amy and I went to Madison and Sam's conference to see how our kids are doing. There are job changes that are taking place. And then you have your specific life as well. All the things that are going on with your family, your friends. Christmas is coming up. I can't believe Christmas is coming up. Oh, goodness sakes. New Year's resolutions. Life is racing by whether we want it to or not. And this morning, I wanted to remind you and to remind me of why God created us. God created us to love Him and to love people. My prayer this morning for each of you is that God would tug at your heart to have your 100% focus and attention today. And every single day. Just as I was this last Saturday, as all my energy and focus was on that one fish, I pray that our attention would be focused upon the things of the Lord and loving Him and loving people. Because that's what God has created us to do. To love Him with everything we have. 100%. I'll admit to you that God has my attention this day more than most and more than any other time in the past few years. Partly it has to do with what we are on the cusp of doing in our church. Because of that, I sense that there are the opportunities for spiritual attack Aim and I are trying to be very careful and wise on how we communicate to each other because the opportunity to be shorter in our conversation is there. I could sense some days that our kids are a little bit more on edge. All my conversations with people seem to be more focused, whether they realize it or not. And Satan would like nothing better than to wreck what's going on, starting with me and starting with my family and then also in your families. I'm not saying that I'm a spiritualist looking at around every single corner, but there is much going on. And I believe we need to be reminded on what our job is to do. It's to love him and to love people. Mark chapter 12, let me read verse 28 again. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. The them is Jesus and the Jewish teachers of that day, and most likely the disciples and some others who were around them. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" A question that I would have loved to have seen given a couple Tuesday nights ago in the presidential debate, or this week in the vice presidential debate. This man thought perhaps Jesus was the Son of God, maybe. Maybe he was wondering if he was. Maybe he wasn't quite sure if he was. But he noticed that he was answering him well, so he thought, I'll ask him this question. Which is the most important? And I believe this question to be a defining moment in the life of Jesus Christ and in our life as believers and just in our world in general for every human being. It's one of those career or life questions that defines everything. Which commandment is the most important? What is your life about? What do you stand for? Why are you doing what you are doing? And then you have Jesus' response. And I love reading the words of Jesus. In all the Bible, it's all great, okay? Understand, it's all great. It's the Word of God, living and active. Every word is God-breathed. But the ones in red, I'm drawn to a bit more. I guess I could say that. And I think it's because you get to hear the author reading for himself. You know? I don't know if you've ever had the opportunity to go and listen to an author read from their own book that they've written. Last night I had the opportunity for my daughter to read to me a bit of her story. And it's always different when Madison reads her own story. Because when I read through it, I read with my own mind and the voice that's in my own brain. But when Madison reads her own stories, she pauses when she wants to pause. She knows the point of what she wants to get across, using proper inflection at times. It's her story. It's her book that she wrote. So it comes across more clear. And I wonder when Jesus spoke in certain times, such as this, if it just came across quite a bit clearer. Because he was the author of it. You know? He was reading or saying, not reading, because he was making Bible right then, okay? It wasn't like he was reading the Bible. He was making the Bible at that point. Man, I wonder what it had been like. And I'll do my best to try and to respond like Jesus would, but only Jesus can respond in the way that he does. But going on in verse 29 to 30, the most important one, and I could imagine at this point, just him saying the most important one, everyone probably would have been, we got to listen to this dude. Answer Jesus is this, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." And Jesus communicated in such a way when he says, "Hear, O Israel." He's not speaking about, you know, just, "Hey, you people." But he's speaking as when he refers to Israel when he comes in as a mother and her hens wanting to, or a mother and her little chicks. Jesus is looking at Israel as his children. Saying, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength." Jesus saying, with everything you got, love him. And I can imagine Jesus saying, and knowing in his mind what his Father is like because he has been with them, and telling the people, "You need to love him because I know what he's really like." And so he communicates it in such a way that we will never be able to communicate, but we can get close to communicating. And with all your strength. What Jesus does is he quotes Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 5, which the Jewish teachers of the law at that point were well aware of. And it was the right answer. But it wasn't the right answer just because they would have said it was the right answer. It was the right answer because it was what God desired of them and what God still desires of us. To love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. It's not just a verse to be hung on a wall. A verse to be quoted sometimes. A verse to be tattooed on your arm or leg, or I could never tattoo that. It had to be on my back, I think. The Lord is one, meaning there is no other God like Him. No one else compares to Him. He is the sustainer of everything. He made a covenant of love with His people, giving everything, giving completely of Himself. And listen up. He desires the same in return. He desires the same in return. He wants everything of our life. He is the most important. I had the privilege a couple weeks back to listen to Bill Hybels, who's the pastor at Willow Creek Community Church. And, you know, we have such great opportunity to listen to great teachers with the capabilities that we have nowadays. But my heart resonated with him as he shared the following truth. And I think it's on the screen here. We make time for things we value, no matter how busy we are. And I thought to myself, man, that's a hard truth, isn't it? But too important to ignore. We make time for things we value, no matter how busy we are. I don't care how much time or money you have or don't have. You make time for things that you value. That can be a spouse, a friend, a child, a grandchild, girlfriend, boyfriend, hobby, job, money, ego. You make time for it if you value it. When do you make time for God? When do you make time for Him? And let me be clear, when I say making time for Him, I mean you and Him. Not you, your church in Him, or you, your life groups in Him, or you and your friends in Him, or you and your dog in Him. I mean you and Him. I'll talk about those other things a little bit later. But just you and Him, when do you make time for Him? This last week I had, or 2 weeks back, actually at Pinecrest, one of my friends up there was sharing about how they had him and his wife came up with an idea to start letting the other person go away for a couple days when it's their birthday. And he says, so I went to the Grand Canyon. I was like, you went to the Grand Canyon by yourself? He's like, no, I went there because I had the opportunity to spend time with God, just me and him. And when it was her birthday, she got to go to the beach and spend just by herself. And I thought, you know what, that's pretty great. Because on the day when we usually think, it's all about me, it's my birthday. All these balloons are for me, the cake's for me, the ice cream's for me. They said, I'm going to go and spend it with God and enjoy some of His creation. When do we make time for Him? Do you make time for Him? In this time of year, in election time, I hear the phrase, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness from the Declaration of Independence. The greatest pursuit in life is not happiness, it's the pursuit of God, which brings happiness, but more importantly, brings joy, peace. Are you making time for Him? When I say making time, being with Him in prayer, communicating to Him. You may think, Ben, that's great for all those people that you talked about and for you, but I don't have time for that. I have to work, I have responsibilities, I have deadlines. You have to make time for Him. We must. I'm not saying take a sabbatical from life, but I'm saying make time for the Lord. I dare you. I challenge you. Implore you. Beg you. At least just 15 minutes. At least. You make time for things that are important. He must be important. He's the creator of everything. How can I say to the Creator, I don't have time for you because I have deadlines to meet? How does that make sense? It doesn't make sense in my mind. He created me to be for Him, for His purposes. Let me quote my now friend Doug Holdren. You guys know he shared at the Men's Retreat. He said, make time for Him as if your life depended on it. thought that was fantastic when I heard it. But let me take it a little bit further. Make time for him as if your life, your spouse's life, your kids' lives, your family's life, your friends' lives, your coworkers' lives, your job, strangers, the world, your church, your life group depended on it. Make time for him as if your future depended on it. It's hard to read the Bible, Ben. When I pick it up, it doesn't make sense. It's not going to get easier if you don't pick it up. We need to take the same mindset with us as we go to spend time with the Lord, as we do sometimes when we go to our job or those things we love. Would we ever say to our supervisor or our customers or our spouse or our kids, you know, I just don't understand it, so I can't do it. That'd be ludicrous if we said that, right? No, I'm going to get it done. I'll get it done. But why sometimes do we treat God that way? And you may be thinking, man, Ben, you're pretty hard this morning. Goodness sakes, I feel a little guilty. You know, why are you doing this? Because, man, there is no greater pursuit, as I said, than spending time with the Lord, than pursuing him. There's too much on the line right now to not spend with him. That's what I sense in my own heart right now. So I apologize if you're kind of receiving what God's doing in my life as well. But make time for him as if your life depended on it. How do you make time for him? First off, plan. Plan to spend time with him. All right? Very simply, just plan it. Everyone's got their planning calendars or their devices they can put stuff on. Amy and I actually have her calendar on my calendar now. So I can totally plan. Some of you guys are like, oh, I'm not a planner. I don't work that way. Hey, do you think the creator of the universe, the sustainer of your life, deserves a little time? Yeah. Yeah, he does. But plan it out. You heard Pastor Bill talk this last week about how he loves the morning and that's his time to spend with the Lord, and he spends it in his front room reading and praying and listening and all these different things. When is your time? Where is your time? For me, quite simply, it's just at the kitchen table. I wake up in the morning, I have my cup of coffee, and I'm reading and communicating to God. That's my time. What about for you? When is your time? I was sharing last hour, how amazing would it be if our friends and our families, as they get older, I think about my kids when they get older, I hope they look back and they think, you know, my dad, when he'd wake up, the kitchen table is where he'd be spending time with God. Where is your time? When is your time to spend with God? Make time for him as if your life and everyone else's life depended on it. But plan when you're going to spend time with God. And I know some folks nowadays, and I've heard over the years past, people say, you spend time with God when you're at your best. If that was the case in my life, you know how often I'd spend time with God? Not very. Because there's not a best time for me. There's just not. And so, although I could argue, even using points from the Word, that every single person needs to spend time with God in the morning. I'm not going to be legalistic and say that, but I would challenge you, encourage you to try that. In my mind, it makes more sense to say, God, I'm going to give you the first part of my day. That doesn't mean you have to wake up at 3:22 every morning and spend time with them. For some of you, it may mean that, but for some of you, it may mean you just take 15 minutes before you go do whatever, whether you wake up at 11 o'clock or 3 o'clock. To spend time with them. 15 minutes at least. And you can still have the rest of the time in the evening or the afternoon that you usually spend with God, but just give them that first part and say, God, I want my day to be focused on you. Would you right the ship for me as I get going? If your day's like mine, you get through half the day or the rest of the day and you're like, where did the day go? I don't have time. I'm tired. Make time for God. Plan it. Read the Word. I don't even care where you start. You can start in Genesis, you can start in Revelation, you can start in Psalms, you can do whatever you want. It's all great. All 66 of them, you know? They're all good. You can start in Genesis, like I said. Read creation. The beginning of God's God's love story for mankind. You can go to Exodus and learn how God saved the Israelites from Egypt. And how that represents to us and God saving us from sin. You can go to Leviticus and God's desire for us to be holy and to be set apart. It doesn't matter where you go. You will find Jesus in every single book. And you will learn about God's grace. So whether it be John, Mark, Amos, it doesn't matter. Just read somewhere. Pray. You can pray so many different ways. You can do it out loud. You can do it in your mind. You can write it down. You can type it on your whatever you have. You can write it on a chalkboard. Just communicate to God. I'm so excited that we have the opportunity today after service to go and communicate to God as kind of the beginning stages of our Tracy campus. It's what God has called us to do. As I'm sharing with our group today, it's what the early church did. They assembled together to just pray. God did amazing things. God did amazing things. And write it down. Write down what God's doing in your life. Write down the way that God answers your prayers. Write down the ways that God has answered them differently than you thought was going to take place. Write down those people you're praying for. So you can look back on it and see how God has proven faithful. Jesus doesn't just stop there with loving him. He goes on. He says this in Mark chapter 12, verse 31. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. There is no commandment greater than these. Love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus takes another quote from Leviticus and puts it together with Deuteronomy. And I wonder if the people who are listening at that point, who understood the law very well, if they started thinking, now wait a minute. I never heard Moses or heard about Moses taking those two verses and kind of putting them together like that. Why is that happening? It's happening because of this reason. Showing love to your neighbor is a natural and logical outgrowth of the love of God. It goes together. It's like peanut butter and jelly. It's like salami and cheese. It's like mint and chocolate. Spam and Velveeta. It goes together, man! It's a natural progression and relationship. The teacher of the law only asked for one, but Jesus gave him two. So they go together. When you make time for God, you make time for people, his greatest creation. Therefore, when we spend time with him, we have a natural love for the people around us. That's why the first question we need to ask ourselves when it comes to relational problems is, am I spending time with the Lord? Amy and I were just talking about this last week. Now, understand it doesn't mean that you're going to be crazy about people right off the bat. You're not going to be like, oh, I read Luke 1:27. I love you, okay? I love everybody. I know that was kind of weird love saying, but that's funny. It's going to be a stretch. And quite honestly, it has been a stretch my entire life. And for you introverts, you know what I mean. But you know what? It's amazing what the love of God can do in your life. You'll be amazed at how you love other people and you care for them. We make time for him because the relationships we have depend on it. How much greater can I love my wife, my kids, my family, my friends, strangers, church, life group? How much greater can I love them if I spend time with the Lord? Pretty great question. Now let me downshift for a moment in regards to a phrase in this. It says, love your neighbor as yourself. And for some of you guys, it's not a big deal. It's not a problem. You know, yeah, you may be good at loving other people. It may be a challenge to you, a struggle to you. But there are some people in this room and in this world, believers, who struggle with the as yourself portion of this. You may have a hard time loving yourself. And I'm not talking about, you know, this thing. I love myself. Okay? What I'm talking about is our self-worth. Let me share with you something. You are valuable. You are valuable. High school students, Remember this, you are valuable. I don't care what any guy or gal says, you are valuable. Married person, single person, you are valuable. Smart, not smart, successful, not successful, you are valuable. You are intricate to God's kingdom. This church, your family, friends, and to this world. Understand that. You are valued. God created you just the way He wanted to. No doubt about it. You came out just like He wanted. But Ben, you don't understand. You don't know what I've been through or the mistakes I've made. I don't understand what you've gone through. But He does. And He still looks at you as His creation. He still loves you, and He still expects you to live for Him and to love Him back. Whether you're a brand new hat or a worn out one. And I couldn't help but think of the hats that I've had over the years to drive this point home. I brought a few of them. They're Giants hats. Yeah. Why would I wear something else? But you could see there's one hat, okay? There's this hat, you know. Like I said, Giants hats. I don't wear this one often. It's more my wife's hat. But, you know, when I'm feeling odd, I'll wear a visor. And then I have this hat, too. Not if you wear a visor, that's fine. Okay, don't take that the wrong way. Can't believe you said that, eh? Which hat do you think I enjoy the most? You think so?
The Giants
hat. That's right, the Giants hat. You know, the hat I wear the most, the hat I love the most, is this one. And some people may think, Ben, that's kind of gross. Actually, it looks a little unsanitary. But you know what? It fits just right. It fits just right. And you know what? It's got a couple tears on it. It's a little faded, a little worn out. But it fits just right. It's useful. It's valuable for me. And you know, we have folks in this room who may look like a brand new hat. We have believers in this world who may look like a brand new hat. Everything's well. And that's great. But we also have people who may look a little bit like this hat. A couple tears here and there. Torn. Worn out. A little faded. And you know what? You're useful to God and for God. And God can use all of that wear for His glory. And that should bring joy and comfort to us as believers. In order to love people, we must understand that you are loved by God, that we are loved by God. How can I explain a love that I do not allow into my life? God loves you. He values you. You need to experience that love in order to love other folks. We are useful for His kingdom. There is much going on. We don't have time to waste. You may ask, how can you love people? By one way. I'm just going to say one way today. It's by listening. Just listen. Just listen to people. They may tell you point blank, this is what I need. This is what I need. Or through spending time with the Lord and the Holy Spirit in your life, you will be able to discern what people need. You will be able to hear by God's Spirit in your life, this is what they need the most, whether it be an ear or whether it be your hands. Just listen. Just listen. Mark chapter 12, verses 32 to 34, and I'm just about done. Well said, teacher, the man replied. You're right in saying that God is one and there is no other but Him. To love Him with all your heart, with all your understanding, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, He said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. And from then on, no one dared ask Him any more questions. The guy responds to Jesus and says, "You did, hey, right on. Yeah, high five. You did great. I appreciate that answer. It was good. You're right. You're right." But Jesus, he had perked the interest of this man. But Jesus doesn't just deal with general statements or commands as he did at first of saying, love God with all your strength, soul, mind, and then love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus then deals directly with this man. He says, you are not far from the kingdom of God. And I think this morning, there's general statements that we make and commands, and there are lessons that we talk about every single Sunday here. But I think every week, there's a time when God is specific with you. And I think this morning is no different. I believe there's the Holy Spirit in your life wanted to make application. And there's a specific question or specific issue or something that God is dealing with you on. He says to the man, you are not far from the kingdom of God. Jesus could have said, you know what? You answered right. Thanks for agreeing with me. You get to go to heaven. He didn't say that. He said that phrase, you're not far from the kingdom of God, which meant there was further thinking that needed to be done. Specific action, decisive action that needed to take place. And you know what? I think God's saying the same thing to us today. There is further thinking, thoughtful reflection, and decisive action that's needed. It's as if God is saying, you know what? You need to focus, and you need to set the hook. Going back a couple weeks, after I finally, saved my brain from all those crazy thoughts, and the fish was nibbling at the line or the bait, at that point I was totally focused. And I think God has your attention today. Hopefully he does. And there comes a point when you have to stay focused on that fish and wait for him to keep nibbling, okay? I'm not very good at it, okay? I admit it. But there comes a moment, too, that you have to set the hook, okay? And so I focused and I set the hook. Pulled in a huge fish like this big. No, not that big. Come on. Isn't Pinecrest Lake about like that? But you know what? In our life today, God is dealing with us in certain things. There is much going on. And God's saying, you know what? You need to stay focused. And you need to set the hook. Today, you need to decide. When are you going to spend that time with the Lord? And I'm not saying that because you spend time with God every single day, your life's going to be peaches and cream. No, it's not. But start there and see how God changes your life. See how your life becomes different and your love for people grows and your relationships are changed. Man, what would take place? Revival would take place, would it not? Further thinking and decisive action is needed on your part, on my part. I said last hour I could talk to him blue in the face up here and say, love God, love people. I could run around with the banner. I could put it on my truck. Okay, I could do whatever I wanted to. But it's up to you to respond to what God is doing, to what the Holy Spirit is leading you to do. Make sense? Let's pray. God, thank you for today. Lord, I pray that you would make application in each person's life today. God, that we would take serious what you have told us to do in loving you and loving people. That it would become very clear in our life, and that when we respond to you and we do love people, God, you would receive the glory. God, I pray that you'd encourage each person in this room, that you would challenge them, you would motivate them this week, today even. God, that our lives would be different because of you. And people would want to know why, and we could tell them it's because of Jesus. Lord, for those here this morning who may not know you, God, I pray that at this very moment, God, you would encourage them, God, to respond to your love. To your Son who died on the cross for our sins, giving us the ability to love you and to love others. We thank you, Lord, for loving us and loving us first. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Appreciate you guys being here today. Make sure you give someone a hug before you go, tell happy birthday to Miss Peggy, and whosever birthday it is, if I forgot it, happy birthday. Happy birthday, sprinkle for everyone this year, okay? I didn't miss anybody, okay? Listen, and at 12 o'clock, we're gonna leave to head over to Tracy. That means some of you guys have your lunches already. That's fantastic. Some of you guys are going to have to stop through a drive-thru. Am and I are going to stop through a drive-thru and grab a little Taco Bell, and then we're going to head over to the park, and we're going to get there and talk, do a little praying, and boom, boom, that's it. Gone. Like that. All right, give someone a hug. See you later. Go Giants.